From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Adeline Baxter with this look at local and statewide news. Governor Mike Dunleavy called the Alaska legislature into a second special session to fund permanent fund dividends. The session will begin on July 8th at 1 p.m. in Wasilla. He issued the executive proclamation shortly after both chambers of the legislature adjourned the first special session. Dunleavy recommended Wasilla Middle School as the venue. The agenda is limited to paying for PFDs. Dunleavy said in a statement that, quote, at this point, a change in venue is necessary to refocus the conversation and remind lawmakers about the people and their PFD. Once the issue of the PFD is solved, these other budgetary issues will fall into place quickly, end quote. House Speaker Bryce Edgman, a Dillingham independent, says legislators are reviewing their options regarding the location of the special session. Edgman also notes that the legislature must pass the capital budget by the end of July in order to receive federal matching funds. The capital budget is not on the special session call.
It's very surprising that the capital budget is not on the call, and I guess I don't understand it.
More than $1 billion in federal funding depends on the state spending some of its own money. While the legislature passed the capital budget bill today, most capital projects didn't receive funding in the bill. That's because lawmakers couldn't agree on how to fund the projects. The mostly Democratic House Majority Caucus proposed funding this budget by drawing from the Constitutional Budget Reserve. That's a state savings account that three-quarters of both the House and Senate must vote to spend money from. If the vote has been successful, it would also have prevented the elimination of funds to equalize the cost of power across the state and to pay college scholarships and grants. But the Republican House minority would only agree to the vote if full dividends of roughly $3,000 were paid this year. An amendment to fund dividends at that amount failed on Wednesday. Anchorage Republican Senator Natasha von Imhoff says the savings draw is needed.
We risk missing out on highway matching funds, as well it's possible that thousands of families could lose good-paying jobs in construction. The economy is connected to the government, whether we like it or not.
More than 30 funds could lose roughly $1.6 billion. The money would be shifted into the Constitutional Budget Reserve. It's not clear if there will be a state government shutdown on July 1st. Dunleavy's office has said that the governor could veto the entire operating budget. If he does, the legislature currently isn't scheduled to be in session until July 8th. U.S. senators from Alaska and three other border states have written to British Columbia's premier expressing concern over transboundary mining. Thursday's two-page letter to B.C. Premier John Horgan says the eight senators remain concerned about the lack of oversight of Canadian mining projects near the multiple transboundary rivers that originate in B.C. and flow into four U.S. states. The bipartisan effort includes Alaska's senators, Lisa Murkowski and Dan Sullivan. In a statement, they urge stronger regulatory oversight by BC to guarantee the protection of Alaska's natural resources. The letter also was signed by six senators from Washington, Idaho, and Montana, closed with an appeal for BC to continue to monitor transboundary water quality. Following the urging from state lawmakers, Alaska Governor Mike Dunleavy wrote a letter to Premier Hogan last month, reaffirming the state's commitment to cross-border cooperation. That letter, however, did not mention mining. Alaska's attorney general is hailing a federal judge's ruling that could ease road building throughout southeast Alaska. The ruling came in after the state sued the U.S. Forest Service in 2016 over a disputed road easement through the Tongass National Forest. The federal agency had argued that the proposed route for Shelter Cove Road near Ketchikan did not line up with a map approved by Congress,
which would have put the roads in many instances over cliffs or across lakes, basically through unbuildable locations.
Assistant Attorney General Sean Lynch argued for the state. The judge found in the state's favor. U.S. District Court Judge Ralph Beislein's Tuesday order granted the state of Alaska permanent access across National Forest System between the communities of Southeast Alaska. Lynch says the ruling could potentially affect other Southeast projects.
Cape to Petersburg, the Intertie, the White River Road near Ketchikan, the Juneau Access. This really does remove the regulatory burdens of Forest Service requirements.
State and federal permits will still be required, but the judge's ruling removes the Forest Service Services Authority to withhold easements from the state of Alaska for transportation and infrastructure corridors through the Tongass. Messages left with the U.S. Attorney's Office were not immediately returned. Boots are on the ground in Muktagvit. The Air Force and Marines started work yesterday helping to construct the new site for the village of Nutuk. Nutuk invited the Department of Defense to conduct its innovations readiness training in Murtavik. The training allows reserve forces to practice setting up infrastructure in unfamiliar environments. For the next 10 weeks, military personnel will construct a gravel road, a landfill, a heavy equipment shop, and four homes in Murtagvik. Bristol Bay fishermen opposed to the pebble mine are adding an unusual task to their preseason chores. They're writing messages on cork floats and mailing them to Senator Lisa Murkowski. Alaska Public Media's Liz Ruskin explains.
If you've seen commercial nets, you'll recognize these foam corks. They're about the size and shape of a Nerf football. Strung in a line, they keep the top of a net afloat. It turns out you can put stamps directly on a cork, add an address, and the Postal Service will deliver it.
The corks are everywhere. I mean, you can find like old corks on the beach and the grass and then in these boat yards, you know.
Nils Uri in Naknek has collected dozens of corks since he saw on social media how fellow fishermen are using them to send anti-pebble messages to Murkowski's office in Washington, D.C. He's bringing a pile of corks to a community festival so other people in Naknek can do the same. Uri is 23 and just spent $150,000 on a gillnet permit. He says the corks should remind the senator she has constituents who depend on the future of the fishery.
There are letters and forms that you can send out, but this is more of like a personalized, very fisherman way to show her that we care.
Dillingham fisherman Catherine Karskallen says they've probably sent hundreds of corks by now.
This idea caught on pretty quick. I think we just started talking about it and went around on Facebook a little bit, and I've seen people throwing parties in the boatyard and mailing. I think there's even been boxes of corks being mailed now because there's so many going in.
Photos she and others posted on Facebook show corks hand-scrawled in Sharpie markers, and some people taped a paper note inside their corks. The messages express fear the proposed mine will degrade the bay and harm the salmon runs. Some urge Murkowski to take a stand. To cork a person in commercial fishing slang is to lay your net in front of someone else's. Karskallen says on the water, it's an aggressive move.
It's kind of stealing the other person's fish, but it can also send a pretty strong message. If somebody gets on your bad side or you really want to get someone's attention, you can cork them.
She's sure she didn't invent the idea, but Karskallen says she and a cousin used to communicate via cork when they were on fishing boats as kids.
We used to write little notes on corks when we'd drive by each other. I was on my dad's boat and she was on her dad's boat, and so we'd pass notes in the water, toss notes back and forth on corks. And then, I don't know, one day when she went back home to Michigan, we tried mailing them.
Lo and behold, it worked. Karskallen says if they'd thought this campaign through, they'd probably mail corks to U.S. Senator Dan Sullivan and Congressman Don Young, too. But she says they're targeting the senior senator because they know she's been a champion of commercial fishing. Alaska's congressional delegation has been mostly neutral on the mine, though all three opposed the Obama administration's effort to preempt the regular permitting process. They said then Pebble deserved to make its case. Pebble Limited Partnership spokesman Mike Heatwall takes issue with the tactic of sending corks.
Well, I think it's, frankly, it's highly disrespectful to our senior senator who works diligently for all Alaskans.
Murkowski spokeswoman Karina Borger says the senator values the input from fishermen. She doesn't know how many corks have arrived so far.
But I do know that we've received several into the dozens, different shapes, different colors. None of them look identical.
The Corps of Engineers is accepting public comment on Pebble's draft environmental impact statement until July 1. In Congress, House Democrats have proposed an amendment that would block the Corps from proceeding on Pebble. The amendment could pass the House on a spending bill, but barring support from Murkowski or Sullivan, it has almost no chance of passing in the Senate. Reporting from Washington, I'm Liz Ruskin.
Taking a look at weather, it's currently 64 degrees and mostly cloudy at the Juneau International Airport. Tonight, patchy fog after 1 a.m., otherwise partly cloudy. That's the latest from the KTOO Newsroom. I'm Adeline Baxter.